Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right
our
now.
Love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing today, Matt Smith?
I'm doing well, Zach. It's really good to have you back, man.
Man, it's good to be back. Got so much to get to and got Broncos coaching search and
Day 10.
I know
it's good to see, you know, last week under the weather and missed a couple days, which is pretty unusual for me, and come back, do one day Friday, then we had Monday off.
Right.
And then yesterday, my little itty-bitty daughter, who's, you know, only 8 weeks old, had a surgery, and she's on the, you know, road to recovery. And
just so great to hear, man.
So, yeah, it's all good, man. She's, like I said, she's only 8 weeks. I was just telling Chad, like, during the break, she's like a little baby bird.
Right.
She's just like a little baby bird. Like, if we walked away, she would die.
Right.
You know what I mean? She needs us so much. That's just any eight-week-old, but,
right.
You know, she is.
In this case, specifically.
In this case, specifically. Yeah. And I've talked about it once or twice with Stokely, but she has what's called clubfoot. So her Achilles tendons are short at birth, so the feet can't grow out the way that they're supposed to. So they're twisted completely inward. And this requires cast after, you know, every week, you know, almost like you change your braces and pull teeth into place. Like,
yeah,
these casts getting changed every Monday. So the great news is like these babies' bones, they're so pliable, bro, that it's not like me or you like fixing it.
Right.
Like, it's like in over the course of five castings, and I'll show you the pic during the break, like her feet were totally twisted. And now, like, dude, if I showed you, They look like normal bones, and it's like a miracle, right? Richie, am I lying, right? You say it's like, it looks like a miracle. It looks like, whoa, how did this happen? How did these bones just totally flip? But then it's like the Achilles are still,
right,
throwing rock hard back there. It's like, it felt like there's like a rock underneath their skin. That's how tight the Achilles was. So they actually have to sever both Achilles tendons and recast, and they will grow back. And, you know, it's crazy that the human body's like that. Like, even if it was us now, like, bro, if you were like playing a 24-hour fitness and you ripped your Achilles, they would repair it because you're grown. But if they casted you, your Achilles would grow back over time. It just take longer. And the reason that they know this, and Richie, I don't know if I told you this is crazy. Like, this is like this Ponseti method of getting these babies right. And I've never shared this on the air, this part, but like when the Nazis were capturing Americans to make sure they wouldn't run away, right, they would cut their Achilles tendons.
Wow.
But then like a year later, those soldiers were trying to escape. The Achilles grew back. And this Dr. Ponseti, who at the time was living, like was putting this together, like maybe this is a method to restore this clubfoot. So that's one of the reasons, the light bulb that went off, that they could do this. So it's like, I always say this, like two of these things can be true at the same time. Like yesterday is like a hard day. Like who wants to see an 8 week old get their Achilles severed, right? Like that, there's no two ways to slice it. That sucks. No pun. But it's also like you're helping and you need this. This has to happen. Right. It's inevitable. And so it was like a tough day, stressful night. But it's a really good thing. So
sense of relief a little bit.
A little bit. It's like we got through that. We've been anticipating the surgery for months now. We knew it was going to happen. Some cases they don't need to do the surgery, but hers was extreme enough where it was. So it's like a stressful day, but it's a good day. So I have high spirits of like, yo, like, she's on the path. We got over another hump. Still a long way to go. I mean, we're going to be dealing with this in some way, shape, or form until she's, thank you, Ty, until she's five. So we're still, you know, a long way to go, but important benchmark. And I'll say this too, Matt. You know, we were waiting a while yesterday to get into Children's, to get into our appointment. It was way behind and wasn't able to do the show. And I put it out there on Twitter. I said, because we were waiting, we're just sitting, and I'm like, yo, I just want to, I share, you know, some people don't.
Right.
And I respect that. And I put it out there, like, with, like, a picture of my daughter from, like, 48 hours before. I was like, you know, we're about to go into surgery. And, yo.
Yeah, it was really
the amount
cool.
of people that were reaching out, the people that I had never met, the people that listened to this show, but also, like, yo, this market of people who work in the market, like, we get competitive and whatnot. Like, you want to finish number one. You want to beat the brains in your competition and all that. Like, I love all that. I love that part of the business. It's a competitor in you. But there's such a healthy respect for most people, like, that work in this market.
Yeah.
I got hit up from our boss and like so many friends here at the station, including yourself, and, you know, getting calls from Tyler and Dee, but hearing from all these other people who don't work here that
right.
I didn't know 6 years ago, but over the course of a decade, earned their respect. A lot of their friendships be hitting them up or hitting me up at who I hadn't heard from in a long time.
Right.
It was just, man, it was really cool. So my wife and I are blessed, and our little girl is going to be all right. And so,
just so happy to hear it, man.
Really. Yeah.
I was really
yeah.
relieved when you sent that to me this
yep.
morning. So
Yeah, thank you. And so, but we got a lot to get to. So
yes, sir.
Enough of that for now. I appreciate everyone who reached out. Still in the process of getting back. So if I haven't, or if it's for some reason I don't, it slips through, please forgive me. It's not intentional at all. Just a busy, busy, busy little stretch. Okay. I'm happy you're here, dude.
Yeah.
We got a Broncos coaching search.
Yeah.
We got a Nuggets trade.
We do.
We have just so much to get to. We're going to hear from Troy Rank a little bit later in the show. We have more interviews happening today. Yesterday, we had a double interview, a lunch interview and a dinner interview with Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn in that order. And I want to take a dive into just the latest temperature of this coaching search. And we'll take a dive into that coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Supposed to sound. The Broncos had two big interviews yesterday. How about the twofer?
Yeah.
Like within the same organization.
James and I have a working theory that Patrick Smyth might have just been sent down to Dallas ahead of time just to be ready for that interview, just to get things ready in the conference room, because as soon as George Payton and company could get down to the DFW area, they made their way down.
Man, I love it, but that's, I mean, to a certain degree, and probably a small degree, but still a degree nonetheless, there's got to be some sort of awkwardness of two guys that work so closely together being interviewed for one of the 32 jobs in the world.
How about because they're from such two different walks of life, right? Dan Quinn is, you know, an experienced head coach, what, you know, pushing 60 at this point. And Kellen Moore's 33, you know,
right
wet behind the ears. And, yeah, for the same job, it would definitely be a bit of an awkward scenario.
Yeah.
No doubt about
for
it.
For sure. I was up for a job that I didn't realize one of my buddies was also up for.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And we were down to the final three in Seattle, and we found out at the last second that the other one,
that the third,
was one of the three.
Wow.
So, like, they're down the final three, and two of them are two guys from Albany, from the same state. I mean, it was just weird. So I can only imagine these two guys for the Dallas Cowboys. This is also public, being interviewed yesterday. Dan Quinn He's going to interview with the Bears, Dolphins, Vikings. There's a thought out there that Dan Quinn could be offered by all four of these. Four of these organizations. You buy into that, Matt?
I do, because he's the hottest coaching candidate on the market right now, and we have reached a position now with Dan Quinn where he's going to have the luxury of choosing where he can go, which we cannot say for probably the rest of the candidates on the market at the moment in time.
Right.
Except for maybe, what, Brian Flores?
Yeah, maybe.
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 Possibly, but that would be about the only one that I'd imagine would really have a big choice of where he could go.
Now, today, Matt, today, George Payton and Co., are interviewing Patriots inside linebacker coach Gerard Mayo. They're in the Boston area right now, and it sounds like tonight they're going to jump to Philly to meet with Eagles defensive coordinator. This says Rich Gannon here.
Jonathan Gannon.
I was like, wait, that's got to be a typo there.
Yeah, good catch.
It's only like the fourth time I've done that today.
Yes.
Is that right?
Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP. Man. Part of a trivia question. What school in the last 25 years has produced a Super Bowl winning, a Super Bowl MVP and a regular season MVP?
You're going to have to let me think about that one for this segment here.
Rich Gannon is one of the two. He's the regular season MVP.
Which school over the last 25 years?
Yeah, do you remember which school Rich Gannon came from?
Oh,
I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm totally blanking.
So don't worry about it.
I'm totally blanking. West Coast?
Delaware.
Delaware, East Coast.
Delaware.
I did not know that.
NFL MVP, and then the Super Bowl MVP from Delaware, Joe Flacco.
There you go.
Both blue
hens. That's your neck of the woods.
What are the chances,
though? That's your neck of the woods.
No, but what are the chances that a school like Delaware, an FCS school,
right,
can put at both quarterbacks a Super Bowl MVP and a regular season? Just, you know, niche
trivia. Little cool. Niche trivia is right. East Coast niche trivia.
Yes, but also NFL trivia.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Quarterback
trivia. Yeah.
So Gerard Mayo today.
That interview's been done already. Completed.
Oh, that's done. Okay.
It's completed. Just happened.
Did the Broncos Twitter put it out there?
Yes.
Because I noticed they've been doing that.
They're doing a nice job keeping us all updated. I actually said that to Richie yesterday. They have these write-ups about each candidate. And I said to Richie, have you ever seen a team account actually post write-ups of interview candidates? I've never seen that, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a little odd.
You know what? It's just a new day.
Yeah.
A new day of information and social. And
good way to stay relevant.
You're not kidding, but it's working.
Yes.
I mean, the website traffic that we're getting as a radio station from this coaching search is stunning. I mean, it's unbelievable. Everyone's curious. Everyone wants to know who's going to be the next Broncos coach.
No doubt about
it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Big deal.
So then they'll head, it sounds like, to Los Angeles tomorrow, Matt, for interviews with Kevin O'Connell in person. And then the Cincinnati offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, apparently they're going to do that over Zoom. And then on Friday, this small contingent, George Payton, Patrick Smyth, just a couple others, are going to go to Kansas City to interview Eric Bieniemy in person. So this is a whirlwind for this organization. It's a massively important deal.
By the way, do you remember last Monday I said I do not think John and Joe are going to be involved in the search committee and the room, and you weren't so sure. Were you happy and relieved to see they weren't involved?
You want to know what? I'm glad that you circled back to that because I did think that I thought it was going to be a group of four. George, John, Joe, Patrick Smyth.
Right.
But you're right. Both of those guys are not involved, and I think it is so often I've used the word with the Broncos, disjointed. Just things don't line up. Like, you know, even just from standard timeline stuff oftentimes, or just order of operation, they've been disjointed. This, to me, is not like a cleansing or anything, but it does feel like a reset button. The guy that you hired to do the job is unencumbered to do the job. And that should be just like obligatory, but it's not.
And it
hasn't been.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's been great to see. I think it was so important that they turned the page on their involvement in that. And we saw Joe Ellis, you know, 10 days ago come out in his media availability and say, look, somebody else is going to be up here. He has clearly recognized that his involvement, it's not helping matters at the moment. And look, I mean, you can't call shots on your way out the door. So That's my take. I'm thrilled they're not involved.
And really, that should be the case in any line of work.
Absolutely.
You know, and rarely does it work on the way out, you know, making a massively important decision. Although I can think of an example where it has worked in recent memory, where a guy on his in his very last move makes arguably the most important decision for the franchise, and it worked, and that was in Baltimore. Who was the general manager that was there forever? Not
Ozzie Newsom.
Ozzie Newsom's last move was drafting Lamar Jackson, and that has paid dividends. But typically, that's just not the case. Okay, has your mindset shifted as you continue to? You've been on the air a lot here on the Fan the last couple weeks. Matt Smith filling in for Brandon Stokely. Rumor has it Stokely is going to be back tomorrow.
That's the rumor.
We've done like one show together in like 3 weeks. So looking forward to seeing my pal, my partner.
Well, Mark Schlereth's getting back from his worldwide cruise. He's just been crushing the buffet table for about 13 straight days at this point.
Let's test that top button now, Stink. Allegedly, I'll see it when I believe it, that Stink is coming back tomorrow. Stoke will be back in his time slot, raising Kane the way that he does. Why did I bring that up? I was saying you've been on the air a lot here in the last couple weeks. After you, sometimes like when you exhaust conversations out and really pick and poke and prod and examine from every angle, is there a candidate for you that you're like, they're not going to hire that guy?
So yesterday on my way in, and I did the drive on Monday with John Davis, and then yesterday we filled in for you guys, James Merrillat and I, and I had a change of heart. I did have a change of heart, and I realized, Zach, that D-Mac is right. D-Mac is right. Nathaniel Hackett is the best candidate for this job. I think this team has to go with an offensive mind, a dynamic offensive mind. And we went through it ad nauseum yesterday. But the nuts and bolts of it, Zach, were basically you look at Dan Quinn's history. And while I think that, I'm pretty much out on Dan Quinn at this point, I recognize that he's the favorite for the candidate and most likely to get the job. And I can understand the reasoning behind it. But you look at the pitfalls that he's had in his career, game management has been such a big one, and we've seen that for the last 5 years. And I personally believe that is the biggest responsibility of your head coach is to coach the game and to manage the game and to put your team in the best position to win. That's number one. Number two, Dan Quinn had an opportunity to redeem himself and tweak some things. They fired the defensive coordinator after they lost the Super Bowl, brought in some talent in the defense. The defense got no better. After Kyle Shanahan left, he did not promote from within, hired Steve Sarkisian, of all people, and that thing blew up. And look, do you remember how Dan Quinn got fired from Atlanta? You remember the Cowboy game where they go on the road, they got a 2-touchdown lead with like 5 minutes left in the game, and they blow the 2-touchdown lead with 5 minutes left, can't recover the onside kick, and the Cowboys win like 40-39. It was my problem with Dan Quinn is I feel like there's an awareness of his situation. I feel like he's able to cognizantly recognize what's going on, but there's a failure to address them accurately, at least in my reflection. Now, look, I he could get the job here and have success, and I could be wrong. This is just my opinion. I'm not making the hire. But Nathaniel Hackett has that energy. He's designed plays. He's called plays before. I've heard even your partner has gotten some bad reviews. Stoke got some bad reviews on Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, I heard that.
But to me, I just look at this. I mean, go look at the teams that advanced. You don't see any teams advancing based upon what they did defensively. It's a high-powered offense. And if you hire a defensive guy and you have success, you are then forced in a year or so to potentially have to go replace that offensive coordinator, and you're back at square one again. So to me, I'm in the mind that in today's NFL, especially with what the Broncos have been through, it's got to be an offensive guy, and it's got to be a dynamic mind.
Well, I appreciate the thought. I do. And it's all fair. It really is. I'll say this. I still want to be steadfast with saying I'm not going to lock myself into a side of the ball, because when they got it right in Atlanta, at the offensive coordinator position and the quarterback, they were in the Super Bowl. That said, your point is it does ring true of like if you have that type of success, your offensive coordinator is going to be a head coach somewhere, and then you're back in the same sort of cycle. I appreciate it, but I want to remind even myself of this as I say it, is that the guys who have head coaching experience, or the guy in this case, Dan Quinn, you're either going to have two things going for you in this process. You're going to have blemishes on your resume. Okay, there's a reason why Dan Quinn is available. He was a head coach. He's not anymore. There is blemishes. But on the other side, there's a lack of blemishes that may be coming to a town near you because this is a hard job to do.
Well, it's an unproven, right?
Yes.
It's an unknown.
Yes. So, like, you think of, like, you know, 12 weeks ago, Brandon Staley was, you know, the hottest name, and he's, oh my gosh, you hear him speak, he's so well-rounded and worldly and articulate and wise. And then he makes some boneheaded moves, and people are looking at him totally differently. It happens, and I don't want to let the shortcomings in Atlanta be the reason why it can't work in Denver. So I'm still trying to have an open mind, but at the same time, I am still going through the process myself. Right. You know,
yeah, no,
of
definitely.
Like, where do I, like, if I'm going to, like, die on a hill, which one is it? And I think through the course of today, we're going to find out a lot more of about where I stand on some of these guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And for me, again, do I think Dan Quinn would be a bad hire? Not necessarily. Am I going to be excited about it? We're going to have to see who the offensive coordinator hire is, because then that becomes so important. And I'm of the
it's
opinion,
arguably as important.
Yes, exactly. And I'm of the opinion that if you it's easier to go find a good defensive coordinator in today's age than it is to go find a good offensive coordinator. By the way, I did some work on Gerard Mayo last night. We were kind of talking, if you're getting those head coaching interviews in 3 years, you must have something there. This guy's a leader. Like, you go watch these interviews and kind of see his backstory and where he's come from. Grew up single mom, kind of like you and I, but he had his grandfather was, I think, in the Air Force and you know, military man, very stringent, and then goes up there under Belichick and has learned a ton. But he, you know, he kind of has a worldly view, not just that Patriot-centric view that
sure.
you kind of see
sure.
from some of those guys. So I could see him being a defensive coordinator candidate here this year.
We have a telling tweet from Mike Kliss about what the Broncos will do at the quarterback position, and we'll share it with you coming up next.
It's Stone and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Once in a while, I'll be up on a Friday night, family asleep. I'm downstairs in the living room, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm just thinking about intros for the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I just start firing them to Richie. Let's mix this in. Just YouTube links.
No doubt about it.
And this is one of those from Friday. So was last one. We had actually people hitting us up. Hey, what beat is that? From the last segment. That was Benny the Butcher, Joe Pesci 38, if you're curious. This is way old. This is old Rockefeller, old HOV. All right, we have a telling tweet from, thank you, Richie, too. We have a telling tweet from Mike Kliss about what the Broncos will or won't do at the quarterback position.
Before you get into it, I would just like to say I feel vindicated from a conversation we had a few weeks ago, but continue.
Is that...
Yeah.
Is,
that's all.
Is relating
based upon
to this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mike, we have to pay attention to what Mike says or doesn't say because we know how close he is with this football team.
Absolutely.
Mike has great resources. Mike has great contacts and sources. And he's also just proximity-wise very close to the team. So when he feels the need to come out and say something unprompted, I know for me, I pay attention.
Absolutely.
I don't let it be my Bible, but I pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Yes. And Randy Mueller, a former NFL executive now covering the draft. At one point, Randy Mueller was the NFL executive of the year a few decades back. He says, quote, I don't think I can recall this number of average college quarterbacks being pushed by analysts to be first-round picks, shaking my head, end quote. Okay? Just putting a tweet out there into the world. Can't remember this a group this average being touted as first rounders. And Mike, quote, tweeted that. So he's directly responding. And he says, would expect Broncos to go trade for veteran route again, end quote. Okay, this is just a sentence. No biggie. We know George Payton has done a lot of prep work with the quarterbacks. He was at the bowl games. He was in, you know, this place, that place, watching Kenny Pickett and, you know, I think he has seen them all in person.
He absolutely has.
Carson Strong, he saw. So
Malik Willis, he saw, too.
Malik Willis, that's right. I found it a little bit telling that unprompted, Mike is sort of prepping Broncos country like it's probably going to be the same route that the Broncos have tried to take here in recent years, whether it's, you know, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, and Teddy Bridgewater. It sounds like that could be in our future here.
Well, when you were out last week, Mike was on with James and I, and then you hosted Friday, and I think you guys got into it a little bit. Mike kind of casually slipped in at the end of the conversation that, okay, Rodgers and Wilson, he confirmed that those were the two primary targets for the Broncos this offseason, as we had all speculated. But he also said there's a big four, and the other two names he mentioned were Garoppolo and Cousins. And I said, hold on, Mike. I said, you're telling me that they're going to go after Jimmy G and Kirk Cousins, which tells me that they're not really interested in drafting a quarterback because they have a top 10 pick in the draft. There's going to be one of these guys there if they'd want them at 9. But I'm telling you, I just don't see it from this group of quarterbacks. And that was why I felt, you know, I hadn't seen this until just now. And I have been doing my own research, you know, and trust me for what you want to trust me. But I truly do not see a future star in the NFL out of this group. I was higher on Corral at the beginning of the season, but as things kind of wore on, there were some things I really just didn't like about him. But Kenny Pickett has kind of come up my list. I think he's the best available. Do I think in another year would he be a first-round pick? I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
Well, love that you're doing the work.
Right.
And you're...
And
you're,
I'm not the be-all, end-all. So,
if you go back to what we were debating about that day, what you said right now, I have zero issue with. What you were saying that day, it was a close-ended, definitive statement.
Okay.
And what I was saying that day, 2-3 weeks ago back now, is like, we can't get caught up saying that this guy will not work in the NFL. He's just not good enough, and we just got to be careful with the definitive statements, especially with quarterbacks, and we have a tendency to, if that's your take on it, what am I going to tell you? That's your thought, but it goes back to the Mac Jones conversation a year ago, which I used to get triggered and go on a rant every week because I watched Mac Jones every week, and I said, this guy looks like he is a first-round pick. I really like him. I think he can play, and it was – Mac Jones isn't better than Drew Locke. Mac Jones is going to be a bust. He shouldn't be a first-round pick. He can't, you know, run fast and jump high. And I'm like, hold on. Can we just be open-minded for a second and receptive to what if he is just an accurate, above-the-shoulders quarterback? And so, anyway, that was a year ago triggering for me.
Okay, I understand.
And then Mac Jones, I know he didn't play well, and, you know, he's a rookie quarterback playing on the road in the playoffs, so I'm not shocked that he didn't play well. I was all over that one.
And so was James. James took it a step further. James happened to think that Mac Jones was exposed, and this is the peak we'll ever see in Mac Jones' career.
Again, I just think that's too definitive.
It's
like,
ridiculous.
Let's give the kid some time. He just went 10-6 and had some awesome games. Man, I can't wait for this weekend, and maybe we could touch on some of the matchups a little bit later because I am just, oh my God, I'm fascinated. Okay. If you want to react to anything that we are talking about here or previously talked about, you can jump in and get tagged in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Okay. An unprompted phone call reveals new information about ownership. What exactly is John Elway's newest angle here? And take a dive into that one coming up next.
Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
question about ownership. What exactly is John Elway's newest angle? Interesting, to put it mildly. We get this article on Sunday morning? Sunday morning, Mark Kisla? I think it was Sunday morning.
Yesterday.
Or was it?
It was yesterday.
Oh, was it yesterday?
It was yesterday because he got the call from John on Monday at the Avs game.
That's right. John just hits up Mark Kisla.
Yeah.
Wanting to talk. Like, my antennas went way up. John just hitting you up.
Yeah.
Just wanting to chat.
Yeah.
Now, Kisla, he put out this piece. I have a excerpt of it here. He said, Elway wanted me to know the worst kept secret in Denver. The Broncos are going to be put on the auction block sooner rather than later. And Elway is scrambling to be a part of an ownership group that buys the team. John said, quote, I'm not interested in being the face of the franchise. That's the job of the next coach and the quarterback and the general manager. George Payton, John said. He went on to say, whoever buys the team is going to be the face of the franchise, and that's the way it should be because the next owner will invest a lot of money in the Broncos. But after being in Denver nearly 40 years and being involved in the team as a player or in the front office for most of those years, the Broncos are a part of my life. I would like to support the new owner however I can. That's the role I would like to have, end quote. Kisla asked Elway if he had an agreement with any potential buyer to be a part of a formal bid for the Broncos. Elway said, no, I'm not formally engaged with any certain group or another. Okay. Not engaged with one certain group or another. Wow. Lots of process here. Going into yesterday, reading this from Kiz, I was under the assumption, based off the report from Woody Page 2 weeks back, that there's an ownership group with John, there's an ownership group with Peyton. And we're finding out here that John is not directly tied into an ownership group. It feels like he's opening he's campaigning to be a part of an ownership group, and he's doing it in a very public manner, and I didn't read it in this excerpt, but Kisla had like an analogy in his piece that like John was like scrambling to keep the play alive, almost like the way he used to as a player. And I just thought that was so perfectly put because, Matt, that's what this feels like. This feels like a bit of, you know, a 2-minute drill, if not a Hail Mary.
Yeah, it was very confusing, the timing of the whole thing. It sounded like Mike Kliss kind of planted the idea in his mind, and he said, hey, you know, maybe that's not a bad call. I do enjoy making millions of dollars and doing very, very little and coming and going as I please. I'd like that job wherever. Not necessarily the Denver Broncos. Come and go as you please, get a couple mil. That sounds nice, doesn't it, Zach? You could sign up for that. Right. So I imagine that John kind of realized that maybe this thing is slipping away here. But also, hey, let me put my name out there to any potential billionaires looking for, you know, liaisons for the Denver Broncos. What was the word that D-Mac and Tyler used yesterday? Ambassador. Ambassadors. That's kind of what John wants to be, right? You know, shows his face in the box and you know, kind of helps around. And sure, he's a sounding board. But really, it sounds like what John is more interested in anything is a sounding board role. I think he understands that his hands in the clay days are over here. At least I imagine so.
He also wanted to make it clear that he doesn't want to make this a Peyton versus John thing.
That was very interesting.
Which, you know, I don't think...
Tough to bill a fight, you're going to lose.
Hey, I was going to say, if Peyton's on the other side of it, as much cachet as John has built up, I wouldn't want smoke with Peyton's side of it either.
Not even a little bit. No, he's a smart man, John Elway.
And
he knows.
And by the way, we know relatively, now everyone's different, but we kind of know the standing in terms of the sentiment from the fan base. Everyone loves John. Everyone is always going to love John. John will be like the Mount Rushmore in Colorado sports, and he's the George Washington head. Like, that's who John is and will always be. But when it comes to the sentiment of Broncos country and who they would rather have involved, you and I talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't believe how unclose it actually is.
Oh, it's skewed. Oh, it's extremely skewed towards Peyton. There's a select group of diehard Elway fans that would still like him, but most Broncos fans on the whole recognize what role he played in getting them into the situation that they currently sit in, Zach, and it's not a good one.
No, it's not, and you know, I think that Broncos country is smart enough to not have such a massively... Let me amend this because what I was about to say was going to be almost rude to John because I don't know what John's role would be in a partnership and maybe it would thrive. So I don't want to be dismissive of John. But the essence of what I was about to say is that Broncos country has enough wisdom to not make a future decision by paying homage to the past.
Absolutely.
That this is about the future. And because Broncos country has been living in the depths of the NFL's muck and mire, it's about the windshield, not the rear view. And I think John represents so much of the rear view and Peyton represents what could be just some bright future.
Right, and outside of what John did as a player, as far as an executive, you can't really mention his successes without really including Peyton Manning's name as well. That is kind of the other part that comes into play here, and that's not taking away anything from John because he built, you know, a Super Bowl contender for several years and went out and was the reason that Peyton came here. One of the biggest reasons Peyton came here is because he was here. So it doesn't take anything away from it, and I don't think Broncos fans are... disregarding the contributions, the incredible contributions. John is the most important person that's ever been associated and will be the most important person that's ever been associated with that franchise. I don't think Broncos country is disregarding that.
No.
Broncos country is recognizing that it is time for change.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's not an indictment on how the fan base, where they hold you.
No.
You know, in their mind's eye or their heart. Like, you know, two things can be true. What you just said about John being the most important person to this franchise, it's unequivocal. It's just a fact. That's not even really an opinion. It's a fact that's never going to change, but that also doesn't mean that it's some sort of birthright moving forward. And I just think this is fascinating. Like, to me, for John to do this, for John Elway to... be picking up, everyone wants to talk to John. John doesn't pick up the phone and call you. For him to be unprompted.
Apparently billionaires are not.
Well said.
I think that's kind of where we're at right now.
By reading this and understanding that Elway picked up the phone and wants to put this out there, it feels like he's on the outside looking in.
He is. He is. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And also, I don't blame him for wanting to be in the club.
Sure.
For wanting to have something to pass down. In NFL franchises, isn't something that's going to lose value. It's not like he's going to lose his hat if he puts $100 million in after the team has a winning bid accepted for it, after the trust accepts that winning bid, whichever. And again, because it is a trust, they have a responsibility to get their beneficiaries the biggest return. And so the Broncos will be sold to the highest bidder.
But that's not always the case.
No. But in this case, because there's a trust involved, it will be.
You know, we will see. You're probably right. But this one's been so... I don't even know all the dynamics here. I don't know who these other partners are.
Certainly not.
I don't know who these other ownership groups are. It's funny.
They're not even for sale yet.
Right. Right. But we're talking about something that is definitive. Like this thing... The sale of the Broncos, it's going to happen.
Right.
It is a dead end road. We are barreling down a dead end road, but we just don't know what road is next and who's driving the car and what type of car is it and do they have a GPS? All this stuff. It's fascinating. It's so important, and the details and lack of clarity, as close as we are to it to be happening, allegedly, it's cloudy.
But we know these owners have been vetted because this is a long process to prove that you have this much type of liquidity, you know, at least some of it to be able to make payments like this. We saw complications with the Browns when they bought the team.
You know, any group looking to buy an NFL team must be led by a single individual who owns at least 30% of the team, although a family member can account for one-third of that stake. So the NFL has put rules in place to try and establish single-face owners, and that person X, that mystery box, the non-John Elway, non-Peyton Manning option is intriguing because, like you said, we do not know what is behind door number three at the moment in time. Could be good, you know, could be, I don't know, I just have a problem believing that the NFL would allow someone who's going to be a dysfunctional owner into the club at the moment in time, after what we've seen the last 5-10 years. I'm wrong.
But I'm just as shocked that the NFL has let an owner be as dysfunctional and flat-out hurtful as someone like Daniel Snyder, and he remains in power.
There's a lot of money involved, unfortunately.
No doubt, but just
no
like
doubt about
one.
It. I mean, but I think that's... because of situations like that, they're not going to allow that to happen.
Like even
again.
Be more sensitive to it because, well, yeah. I hope,
maybe that's true. Maybe I'm wrong.
I hope you're right. Pat on the RamosLaw.com text line says, wow, shocked your story had holes in it. You guys are trying to blow up Manning versus Elway, hot take stuff. No.
That was what was reported.
Pat, this was a report from Woody Page.
And La Canfora.
It wasn't hot take radio. This was reported. This is why I use the lack of focus. Like, we just don't know a lot. We thought that to be true. John Elway is picking up the phone and calling the Denver Post, letting you know, no, he's not in an ownership group. The whole thing, it's juicy and unfocused simultaneously.
It's fascinating.
It is. All right, Matt Smith filling in for Brandon Stokely. Stokely will be leaving his post at the morning show, allegedly, and returning tomorrow. So really looking forward to getting back on the same page with him. But first, there's a new quarterback being discussed in Broncos country, and it is flat out dividing a room. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll also get into the trade that the Denver Nuggets did. All of that is coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.